It's good to see you today. How are you? I was thinking this morning of all the people that I knew today were going to be out of town. We've probably got about 8 or 10 of our families that are, I don't know if they got in collusion or something, but everybody went out of town on this weekend. But need to pray for them, people that are away from us, and people that are sick. I hope we're done with that virus that had gone through us like wildfire. I hope that is over and done with. Message today. I hope you've been thinking about those of you that got to hear the message last week. I hope that has been on your heart and on your mind. I can't forget about it. I mean, it rolls through. Somebody asked me, said, well, I didn't get to hear your manifesto. I said, well, I don't know if I'd call it a manifesto. I just sharing my heart, but it is available online. If you want to listen to it, you can get it there. Now, we've been, for the last several weeks, been looking at the nature of the battle that we're fighting in this world as we live in this world. And today's message is entitled Root or Fruit. And I'm not going to have any notes for you on PowerPoint today, so you may want to jot some of these down, some of these scriptures, things we're going to look at. Root or fruit? Have any farmers here? Any horticulturalists? Any bucket farmers? We got any of those? Yeah, we got a few of those. I have a total of 4 tomato plants, 1 bell pepper, and 1 jalapeno that I had real good success with last year, and so much so that I'm looking forward to that this year. Those are ones that I have. I like to grow the things you can eat. And Miss Audrey, she has all these flowers that you look at, but she buys them and I take care of them. She's not in here, so I can have freedom today. Yes, she does. And spies that tell her quickly, judgment begins at the house of God. I can take scripture out of context with the best of them. I'm a professional. But you know how important roots are. But when you think about it, one of the enemies of the good things out there are the bad things, the weeds. Remember when Roundup first came out? That liquid you can spray on the plant and it kills them? I remember my first trip with Roundup. I didn't realize that it was dripping everywhere, and it left a trail through my green lawn of what you could see right where I had been with the Roundup. And then someone was ready to round me up. But the first Roundup, it would only take care of the top part because it would die off in a weed that was worth its salt. Within a couple of weeks, boom, it's back up there. It's back growing again. You kill it, you kill the top part, but the root was still there. Now, today's message, I want you to get this analogy down very well because we're going to come back to it again and again. There are a lot of things in our lives where we only deal with the fruit part and we never get to the root. Relationships, stuff in families, stuff that's been carried on for generations in families. We deal with the fruit part, the parts you can see, but the root part never gets dealt with. And I'm here to tell you today that I believe God wants to deal with the root things in our lives. Because you get that root right, and the fruit is going to be wonderful. My father-in-law was giving me a lesson yesterday. He's been digging in the soil for a long time. And he grew up on a farm, and he's been scratching in dirt for a long time. And he was trying to tell me about fertilizing. You know, I was telling him about my tomato plants. He said, "Now remember, you want to get that fertilizer out. You don't want to be right there next to, you want to get it out some." He said, "Because, you know, Dust, the roots are real important." He didn't know what I was preaching today. I want to say to you today, the roots are real important. We've got to pay attention to them. Let's pray together. Lord, I'm asking you now as we open the Word that you'll speak to us. Asking you, God, that you'll separate all the junk from us. And Lord, some of us have had to endure some junk during this past week. And I'm asking you, Lord, to separate that from us right now in Jesus' name. That we can hear what you have to say to us, Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, right now, I'm putting myself at your disposal. I know the things that I felt like I've been led to put down for notes, but God, I'm just asking you to take over all of it right now. That you would speak clearly and plainly. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. It is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I want to read two passages of Scripture to you. One is from Galatians 5, if you want to look there. It's the classic passage on fruit. Galatians 5, beginning in verse 16. Now, I'm going to begin at an odd place, because you're thinking I'm going to begin at the fruit of the Spirit. But actually, where I'm going to begin is at the fruit of the flesh. Fruit of the world. Verse 16, listen to it. Galatians 5. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets the desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." Let me stop right there. Have you struggled, flesh and spirit, this week? Anybody? Well, three of us have. Okay. I don't know what the rest of y'all were doing. Maybe you were cloistered somewhere. But I want you to know, it's been a war where I've lived this week. I don't know about you. "For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident," which are. Okay, here's the fruit of the flesh. See if you saw any of these this week, if they ring true with you. Immorality. Can I get a witness on any immorality? Oh, you saw it in somebody else. Okay. All right. Impurity. Sensuality. Idolatry. Sorcery. Enmities. Strife. Jealousy. Outburst of anger. Well, you must not have driven on Abercorn this week. Disputes. Dissensions. Factions. We hadn't even got off of your street yet, have we? Or out of your office where you work. envying, drunkenness, carousing. Think carousing? I know some of you thought that your grandmama made that word up, but it's actually in the Scripture. And things like these. In other words, dot, 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 et cetera, et cetera. Of which I forewarn you, just as I forewarned you, that those who practice, literally what it says, those who have these things as an habitual practice in their lives will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to understand what it says. Not saying that if you ever do one of those things that's on here, that you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. That's not what it's saying. What it's saying is, if that is the habitual practice of your life, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Because if not, you would make a case for absolute perfection. Only one who ever lived on this earth was absolutely perfect. But it is saying about your lifestyle, that your lifestyle, which everyone can see, which would be the fruit on that tree, is indicative of what the roots are. Okay? You follow me so far? Now, here's the classic part of the passage. But the fruit of the Spirit is, boy, we can say this, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, patience, goodness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, let me go back through those. Have you seen love? Joy. Patience, kindness, simple kindness, goodness, self-control. Well, then you've seen the fruit of the Spirit. Against such, there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with all of its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us then walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Now that's the fruit of the Spirit passage and the fruit of the flesh. There's another passage I want you to look at. It's found in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. And here it is. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. Now, in that passage, he's talking about a root of bitterness that springs up and causes trouble. You ever seen a root of bitterness come up in a home, in a company, in a church? In a neighborhood, between peoples. Starts out as a little old thing. It's kind of like we were laying some concrete one time, and this guy wanted to plant this pine tree right next to the concrete. I said, you shouldn't plant that pine tree there. He said, why? He said, I'm putting this, he said, it'll be a problem with the concrete. He said, what's the problem going to be? He said, the roots. He said, but this is concrete. It's strong. He said, that's a pine tree. It's stronger. And what happened? A few years later, you see the side of the concrete starting to lift up. Man, this is a tremendous piece of concrete. Lifts up a little bit more. And finally, it cracks. And what do you see? The root. Root. Now, let's talk heart to heart. Do you get it what I mean by root and fruit? That the root has everything to do with what the fruit is. Find me the root of a banana stalk and what kind of fruit am I going to expect to find there? Okay. My father-in-law and I were he gave me a tomato plant, and he had some tomato plant. In fact, it's one that my Audrey's brother, who passed away, had ordered these, and They come in, and he said, here's the pepper plant. He had peppers and he had tomatoes. He said, they're so tiny, I can't tell the difference between them. Because there's no leaf yet, there's no fruit yet that you could look at it and tell. But I want you to know, someone excellent and schooled in spotting roots could look at the roots and tell you. Because eventually, whatever that root is, that's the fruit that's going to come out of it. Are you following me? Okay. Let me begin to address the situation in our own lives in regard to root and fruit. We all have some root issues in our lives that have not been dealt with fully. Did you hear me say all of us? That's who I said. Because were God to, at the point of your coming to faith in Jesus, deal with you about everything in your life at one time, you couldn't take it. I couldn't take it. So he does that over a lifetime with us. That's why the Apostle Paul would say, as Dane quoted earlier this morning, I'm pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And do you know when he wrote that? It was at the end of his life. And here is Paul, greatest missionary of all time, who's writing that. I'm still pressing. So, we all have these root issues to deal with. But here's kind of the nature of the situation. For many of us, we don't even begin to deal with root. We just always live in the fruit area. It's a lot easier to just deal with what's seen and ignore the unseen, though it may be very important. You know, we may get to the point then where we're challenged about dealing with some problems in our lives and with the battle that's going on that we all face. And maybe our pants get on fire with a particular issue in our lives and we realize, I've got to do something. Or, man, it's time to get back to church. And it's time to start going to church. And going to church just doesn't seem to solve the problem, does it? Because you can still be separated from the issue. We may even recognize some of the problems as the fruit in our life, some of the ones that just blossom out. Like, boy, I've got an anger problem in my life. Or, you know, every time I'm around this person, this particular issue comes up and I want things to be different. We may start to address it in our lives, but seldom do we get to the root issue. Then we get discouraged because we think we've dealt with the problem, and all we dealt with was the fruit, not the root. Remember my illustration with Roundup? Man, back then when I bought that Roundup, it was expensive. Sprayed that stuff out there, all the cracks in my driveway where all the other roots had come through, and about 3 weeks later, there were just brand new weeds that were coming through there. I thought, man, did I buy Roundup or fertilizer? Haven't you felt the same way? When you dealt with one problem in your life and it seemed like three or four came back in its place? Have you been there? Are you tracking with me? So we come to a conclusion, many of us in our lives. We come to some conclusions about God. We say, well, maybe God just doesn't care about me or my situation, because it looks like if I've recognized a problem here and I'm willing to do something about it and nothing seems to ever change because it just keeps going back to the way it was before. Or maybe God just has no power in this situation. Maybe He's powerless over this. Or maybe I'm just destined to live this kind of life. Ooh, I know I'm stepping in some difficult territory right now. I'm just destined to live this kind of life. And finally, we may say, I'm incapable of change. And I want to hasten to say, all of those things I just said, you should have felt the heat, because they're hot from hell. They're lies. I want you to recognize them, but I also want you to feel them, because I know you've said those same things. Maybe not where someone else could hear it, but you and God know. So, what are some examples of these things that I'm talking about? Now, let me kind of parse the field a little bit for you. When I talk about root things, it may be a sin that is a root thing. You'll see this in just a moment. It may be a lie that we have believed, that we, from the time we were very young. You know, I believed when I was very, very young that I could wait outside in our yard with a salt shaker and put salt on a pigeon's tail, and that pigeon couldn't fly. Someone told me that, and I believed them. And I was out there with salt in the yard waiting. Now, I know that sounds ridiculous to you, but how ridiculous do you think the lies that we believe about God sound to Him? Pretty ridiculous, eh? A root thing that I'm talking about, it may be something that was done to you. for which the only responsibility you would have today is to continue to let it rule your life and not get rid of it. This is, in particular, I know some of you can go quickly to this. This is in case of abuse victims. Somehow they think something's wrong with me. That's not true. That's a lie. Little children that were abused. It's wrong. They grow up believing that there was something wrong. Well, that's a root issue. That there's a lie that they've come in agreement with. It's got to be broken. Some root sins in families. Well, you know, I think you can see how some of these things would become self-fulfilling prophecies. Can't you? Let me give you one. Here's a root that's in a lot of families that is wrong. It's wrong. Well, you know, my family, all of my family, we just have bad tempers. And we just lose our tempers, you know? And particularly the other one, add to it if you have red hair. I'm sorry. You've heard that. I'm just speaking something out that you've heard. Is that right? Does a bad temper... You know, let me tell you how bad temper gets passed on. It's modeled, it's shown that, and you come in agreement with the evil one in your life, and yes, it does get passed on for generation to generation. But it's not because you're part of that family, it's because you're part of that schooling that comes out of that family and the lies. Here's another one. And this is hitting all of us here. Some of us, some women here who are sitting here today, have a basic mistrust for men. Because at some point in their past, they were taken advantage of or abused. And the likelihood of them going out and particularly when they go to marry someone, you know who they usually marry? They marry another abuser. And what happens to the cycle? It just keeps right on going. Someone's got to go to the root and say, and deal with it. You can't just deal with the fruit. You can't just say, well, I made a bad choice this time. You've got to go back to the reason for the choice. What you believe about yourself and those root issues in your life. Or it becomes a root of bitterness in your life. It becomes a place where you're making that decision. Is it fruit yielding from the flesh or fruit of the Spirit? Why don't we deal with the root things in our lives? Well, my first answer to that would be because most of us are unaware of the root of the problems in our lives. Because we don't see people around us. It's not stylish to deal with the roots of problems, is it? You only deal with what you see, right? And we're all about looks in this culture. Are you following me so far? Don't fall off the boat here, because you got to get the whole wad. We're unaware of the root. And so we live with those roots, and we live with those roots like it's okay for them to be there. And it's not okay. Another reason we don't deal with the root of things is we do realize something's wrong. We, as I said before, we usually go back and try to just deal with the fruit. And then we go through that whole frustrating cycle again. Another reason is
root issues are very difficult to deal with. And many times, they involve other people. And everybody just doesn't get the warm fuzzies about dealing with root issues in life, do they? Because they want things to just rock along. Don't rock the boat. Dealing with root issues requires a lot of discernment from the Holy Spirit. It requires time. It requires commitment and faith. Trusting God that He'll show you. So, before we move on, why don't more churches talk like this? Let me tell you, this ain't on the top 10 of sermons on anybody's list anywhere in the United States today. It's just not there. Why don't we do that? Why haven't I preached more messages on this? Well, for one thing, it's too messy. Why do you want to go make a mess like that? Have you dug something up by the roots? Have you done that? Man, it's easy to get the chainsaw out, you know, or just cut the fruit off. Oh, look at that. It looks real pretty. But it's a gift that keeps on giving. It's going to come back. If you don't remove the roots, what's going to happen out of those roots? It's going to grow up again. Again. It also requires a lot of time. A time investment. Another thing is, most of us have misunderstood what being a disciple of Jesus is all about. We have termed discipleship as, well, we'll get my little notebook and we'll fill in my little notebook and all. And all. That's why I like blank notebooks. So, of course, I'm kind of fly by the seat of my pants anyway about most of my life. But I like those so that I can see how God is working and I don't try to put Him in a box. But we've misunderstood discipleship. We've made it into something that's a class. But discipleship means we're following Jesus. That means we're getting down and getting dirty with our problems and allowing Him to address them at their root. Are you following me so far? And let me tell you, another reason why churches don't do this is because we've misunderstood what accountability is all about. We have made accountability into something that God never meant it to be. When we think of accountability, we think of legalism and judgment. And that is not the accountability that is shown in the Word of God by the life of Jesus as He lived His life out. It was love. And it was loving somebody enough to tell them the truth, to be involved in their lives. Like how we should treat our children. We see our children about to run out into the street in front of a car. What do? Whatever you have to. You scream, you holler, you run towards them, you tackle them, you do whatever you've got to do to keep them from getting hit by that car. Will we do that for one another in ability? When we see one of our brothers or sisters about to walk into a black hole, dive down into nothingness, we see them about to make some poor choices in their lives. And let me tell you, we get our share of shots here when we try to share with people the truth about things. People don't want to hear the truth many times. But I'm telling you, I'm not going to be accountable to just you. There's one that I'm accountable to
that's over everybody. And you're accountable to Him also. Really, at the end of the game, only one opinion matters. And that's His. So accountability, we've got kind of a screwy version of accountability. We've made it a man's view of accountability. And really, it should be bathed in love. In fact, another reason why churches don't want to deal with this is because they feel like, on the one hand, they're either going to fall in the legalism and judgment ditch over here, or the license and licentiousness ditch over here. I just used L words there, but you could promiscuity, sin, whatever. I'm sorry. Legalism, judgment over here. License, like you have a license to sin, do whatever you want to do over here. Man creating all the rules over here and beating people over the head with them, or over here, whatever you want to do, do whatever you want to do. Whatever makes you feel good. And over here, do it and I'm going to crack you on the head. Let me tell you, God's not in either one of those ditches. He's right smack dab in the middle with His love, saying, I'm loving you enough to tell you the truth in your life and to get down to the nitty-gritty of what's making you tick. Let me tell you, I suspect some of us here are still suffering from living out some of the lies that we got when we were children. Lies about ourselves, lies about family, lies about God. And I want you to know He has a more excellent way. Have you ever looked at the cyclical behavior in your life and you keep saying, why does that keep coming up in my life? Well, there's a reason. Because I've never dealt with the root of it. What's the root? Now, don't have a fit on me right now, okay? Don't go over the edge. And think, oh, God's going to bring all this. He's going to wash away all the dirt right now. And He's going to expose me to the world. And all of those roots, everybody's going to see everything. And I can't deal with all of it right now. What am I going to do? I'll just fly off the hill. That isn't how He works. Holy Spirit comes. He loves us. The Spirit of Jesus. He speaks to us in love. He says, I'm loving you enough to tell you about this area. Let's work on this. Let's begin the process. Some of you have, and see, just that thought about how God would deal with you, that's a lie. Do you hear me? I'm illustrating by the illustration. Now, primary root and fruit issue of Scripture and of our lives is, here's the primary one, is salvation and works. Works being the fruit, salvation in Christ being the root. For by grace, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not yourself. Even the capacity to be able to trust in Him is a gift from Him. Even the faith is a gift. He gives us the capacity to faith Him. Using faith as a verb, believe, pistuo, that verb. See, even that's a gift from Him. But see, how has man screwed that up with a lie? He's saying, well, you do these works, and then these works will produce this root down here. Uh-uh. Turn it upside down. It is the root of Jesus and simple faith and trust in Him that produces salvation in our lives and then the fruit that comes out of that. Does that make sense? That's a basic issue, root and fruit issue. You need to get that one straight first. Now, here are a couple of other examples from Scripture of people who had a root and fruit issue. Rich young ruler. Remember, he comes to Jesus with the question. What was his question? What does he desire? He desired, what have I got to be saved? Do you remember what Jesus said to him? It was an odd answer. You'd say, well, Jesus is into that works religion. What was his answer? Anybody? Sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and then come back and follow me. Do you know what he just told him? It's transparent when you read it in context. He knew what his God was. And his God was his stuff. And what he was saying, I want you to repent. Change your mind about your God. And you turn from that stuff. And a good way to show that you've turned away from it is what? Throw it down. And then come and follow me. Repentance and faith. Do you see it? Jesus, with a question, exposed the root in his life. Nicodemus, another example, comes to Jesus by night. He'd been hearing about Jesus. And what was his question? He wants to follow Jesus. He's curious about him. What does Jesus say to him? He gives him another odd statement. Jesus and those odd statements. He said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus, being the great theologue, the great understander of all things theological, says in response, you mean I got to get back inside my mama and come out again? Do you see the ridiculous nature of that? Jesus has a sense of humor. I know most of you read that and you didn't think of that as comical, but it's hilarious. It's hilarious. You don't understand Jewish sense of humor. I mean, it is there. And Jesus said, oh man, you got to be born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Oh, then we see John 3:16, which is, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Root and fruit. See, differentiated. So, one more. The woman caught in adultery. John's gospel. Remember her? They caught her, caught in adultery. Already the story is skewed because they only bring her out. Who did they leave out? The man. So already they've moved themselves over. And here are these narrow-eyed legalists. They're all worried about fruit. And what's the throwdown Jesus gives them? As he brings her out and he gets the circle out there. You remember he writes in the sand? What do you think he was writing in the sand? I've heard all kinds of things. But the best one, the best speculation that I know what he was writing in the sand was the names of all those around there that had slept with her. Huh? That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? That sounds just like Jesus, doesn't it? Just expose the truth to bam, right out there in front of everybody. And then he makes this statement. He who is without, cast the first stone.
How many volunteers did he have? So what did he expose? The root. He went to the root of the issue. Now, what are the root things in your life? Probably today, you can't answer that very well. You need revelation. Because probably today, most of what you would say is root would be more like fruit. Where does the anger that you have come from? What is its root in your life? The attitudes that you display about things. What is the root of that? Well, if you want to get healed, you got to go to a good doctor. So take it to Dr. Jesus. Take it before Him and say, Lord, show me those things in my life. Begin the process. And know that as He begins, it's a beginning. He's going to reveal more because He wants you to get closer to Him in your walk. Cry out to God. It means you got to start becoming more transparent than you are today. Transparent to God and transparent to those that around you that love you and care about you. Also means that you got to begin to be cruelly honest about your life with yourself. Do you want it to get better? Or you want to just keep rocking on? There's some marriages here today that are still fighting some of the same root problems that you had in the first 2 years of your marriage. And all you've done is put different window dressing on it. And it's just cyclical. Isn't it time to be healed, delivered, set free, to walk with Him? We need to make use of His resources. What resources has He given? He said, well, I got you here, and just throws you out on the carport and said, just work it out and then get back to me. No, sir. Jesus has sent us His Holy Spirit who is with us today to instruct us, to show us the truth, to unveil it to us. He has given us this book, the Bible. And every time you open it, He'll speak truth to you. Let Him speak it. He has given to you His body, the church. And I wrote in my notes, large, small, and extra small. Large being the large group body. Small being, you know, they met from house to house in homes, groups. And for us, and extra small would be those couple of guys or gals in your life, men on men, women on women, kind of, that have the capacity that can speak the truth to us. Mano y mano kind of thing, guys. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. He's given us the church. Why would you pass up on an opportunity like that? A great gift. He's given us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. All of them for today. The miraculous gifts of revelation. I just exercised one there a moment ago. I ask you to let God speak to you. Will. There's a tool that we use here that you'll be hearing more about again over the next several weeks called the Steps to Freedom. It's a seven-step thing that a fellow by the name of Neil T. Anderson developed. And many of you have gone through. How many of you have been through Steps to Freedom? You know, it's about a dozen of us in here. But it's been a great tool of revealing root things. Another thing we've got to realize that it's a process. And to let God begin the process. And let's tap on His power. And not try to do it on our power. Do you understand me? I believe He wants us to be transformed. Now, that's not a popular theme in the church in America today. Transformation. Our theme is in the church in America is how can we look more like the world? And I'm not talking about being an idiot in the name of Jesus. Being stupid in the name of Jesus. I'm talking about being transformed. With a life that has changed. How about it? Did God speak to you today? Let's bow our heads. For our ministry time today, we're not going to call on anybody else to come up here, but I want you to know the altar's open. John's going to play a couple of videos while we open the altar. But if you want to come and pray today, and if you want someone to pray with you, I'll be here. I'll pray with you. I'll get someone to pray with you today. But now maybe you want to go get someone else. But this altar is open today. If you've heard from God, then right now where you sit or at this altar, why don't you respond to Him? And maybe with that first thing I ask you to do, Lord, speak to me about the root issues in my life. Lord, we open the altar now and we ask you to come, Spirit of God, come and move in power. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We'd like to get those cards from you. If you want to bring those now, if you have an offering to bring. Has God spoken to you today? Well, let's go out there and live like it. And let Him show you the root. Just start the process now. And when the Holy Spirit goes to pushing back some of that dirt and exposing one of those roots, cooperate with Him. Let Him deal with you. Okay? Because He has your best interest at heart. I love you. Go in grace.